year.
And it totally took me by surprise, as most colds do. I can't even tell you who I was with to blame for this, but so hopefully it's not too much of a distraction. I do want to welcome you here to Array Christian Fellowship. My name is Paul Karras. I'm the senior pastor here. And again, I just want to say happy Mother's Day to all the moms out here. For all those moms that are standing in the gap who may not be a biological mom, or maybe there's an adopted mom here who is taking on adopting children. Again, thank you so much. I also want to just take a moment to personally thank my wife for all the love, encouragement, and the model face she is to our kids. And because my mom is listening, happy Mother's Day, Mom. I love you. Thank you for all your prayer support, introducing me to Jesus, and dealing with me when I wasn't so easy to deal with. So, again, I love you. Well, this morning I want to start off our message with a quote from Thomas Edison. Thought this was really kind of cool. It's a long one. It says, I did not have my mom long, but she cast over me an influence which has lasted all my life. The good effects of her early training I can never lose. If it had not been for her appreciation and her faith in me at a critical time in my experiences, I should never likely have become an inventor. I was always a careless boy, and with a mother of different mental caliber, I should have turned out badly. But her firmness, her sweetness, her goodness, her potent powers to keep me on the right path. My mother was the making of me, and the memory of her will always be a blessing to me. Pretty cool. The guy who gave us lights, right? I love what he said. Mother cast over me an influence which has lasted all my life. My mother was the making of me. You know, the last few weeks we've been talking about biblical leadership in the church and how that is so important that we need godly leadership. And it's why we're going through this process right now of new elders, and we've had great elders who have served this church faithfully and well. And we have some new candidates that, Lord willing, will be put in place here next month. But I want to say this. It's equally important for us for the role of godly moms and the role that they play, the women who play a role in helping to shape this next generation. And that cannot be said lightly. It's so true. We need godly people, not only godly men, but godly women. And so today I want to look at three different examples of motherhood, okay? It's come from probably an unlikely passage of Scripture. It's going to be in Exodus 1 and 2, actually, we're going to be in. We're going to be turning there. But I hope that you're encouraged as we look at these examples of motherhood. And if not encouraged, maybe challenged. And to think about how God is calling you to influence the life of a child or a young adult or the people around you. And although this message is directed probably at the women of the church mostly today, men, do not tune out. Because these examples of motherhood have a lot to say for all of us about how God wants us to use our time, resources, gifts, and talents to help shape the next generation. So with this, I'm going to try to save my voice a little bit more. I'm going to invite our elder Barry up, and he's going to read the passage for us, and we're going to invite you to stand with us as we read this.
Really trust those electronic things, so I'm going to try to read from Scripture. Kind of feel like we're being the voice. Aaron is being the voice for Moses this morning. and since Nate preached the sermon this morning, I think all Paul's going to have to do is the benediction, then we'll be done, right? So I'd like to read from the book of Exodus, chapter 1, beginning at verse 8. Now a new king arose over Egypt who did not know Joseph. And he said to his people, "Behold, the people of the sons of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come. Let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and in the event of war, they also join themselves to those who hate us and fight against us and depart from the land." So They appointed taskmasters over them to afflict them with hard labor, and they built for Pharaoh storage cities, Pithom and Ramesses. And the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied, and the more they spread out, so that they were in dread of the sons of Israel. And the Egyptians compelled the sons of Israel to labor vigorously, and they made their lives bitter with hard labor in mortar and bricks and in all kinds of labor in the field, all their labors which they rigorously imposed on them. Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, one of whom was named Shiphrah and the other was named Puah. And they said, when you are helping the Hebrew women to give birth and see them upon the birth stool, if it's a son, then you shall put him to death. And if it's a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt had commanded them, but let the boys live. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, why have you done this thing and let the boys live? And the midwives said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are vigorous, and they give birth before the midwife can get to them. So God was good to the midwives, and the people multiplied and became very mighty. And it came about, because the midwives feared God, that he established households for them. Then Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, every son who is born, you are to cast into the Nile, and every daughter you are to keep alive. Now a man from the house of Levi went and married a daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was beautiful, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could not hide him any longer, she got him a wicker basket, and covered it over with tar and pitch. Then she put the child into it and set it among the reeds by the bank of the Nile. And his sister stood at a distance to find out what would happen to him. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the Nile with her maidens walking alongside the Nile. And she saw the basket among the reeds and sent her maid, and she brought it to her. When she opened it, she saw the child. Behold, the boy was crying, and she had pity on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go ahead. So the girl went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away and nurse him for me, and I shall give you your wages. So the woman took the child and nursed him, and the child grew. And she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she named him Moses and said, because I draw him out of the water. This is the word of the Lord.
You may be seated. So, Exodus 1 and 2. We see three great examples of what it means to be a mother. But only one is a biological mom. And I want to kind of first start with that model of motherhood, the biological mom. And so we're introduced to this mom in Exodus 2. And again, just to recap a couple of verses here. Now a man from the house of Levi went, took his wife, a Levite woman. A woman conceived and bore a son. And when she had saw the son was fine, she hid him 3 months. And when she could hide him no longer, she took him to the basket, made of bulrushes and daubed it in bitumen and pitch. And she put the child and placed it in the reeds in the riverbank. And his sister stood at a distance to know what would be done to him. So if we just stop right here, we have no idea who this mom is. Now, a little test, we could probably say, do you know who the child is? Child's name is? Moses, good. But can anybody name his mom? What was it? I don't know the Hebrew on that, but We'll check that later. Actually, if we just stop reading here, we don't find out who the mom is. But Exodus 6:20 does mention her, and so does Numbers 26:59. 6:20 only mentions Sarah as the mother of Moses and Aaron. How nice, right? Moms are like, thanks, I'm known by my kids' names, but not my name. Yeah, that happens. But we find out in Numbers 26 who she really is. And so here's what we read in Numbers 26. The name of Amram's wife was Jochebed, the daughter of Levi, who was born to Levi in Egypt. And she bore to Amram Aaron and Moses and Miriam, their sister. And so the first model of motherhood is Jochebed, and the biological mother of Moses and Aaron and Miriam. And what's really interesting about her, and this is where I want to kind of take a little bit of a deeper dive for us this morning about her and her style of motherhood, is that, yes, Moses is, he's known. We get that. If you haven't spent time in the Bible, you may have watched a Disney movie, Prince of Egypt, whatever it is. You have some type of background on Moses. But I want to kind of dive into the background of Moses' mom, because I think she's a really, really special lady here. And one of the things that we find out, if you start to look into Jochebed, as you know in Bible, names were really important. They meant something. Well, this is really fascinating because this is what her name means. Jochebed means, the name means the glory of Yahweh. Now, this is super interesting, right? And here's why. Because as far as we know, Moses is the first person to encounter who God is and his name. That's pretty crazy. But again, God always has purpose and design behind why he does everything. And it's fascinating to hear that his mom's name meant the glory of Yahweh. And again, by no mistake do I think this is part of God's plan. Moses has the first encounter with God and gets to know him and his name. But it's interesting that his mom's name means the glory of Yahweh. So pretty cool stuff there. What else do we know about Moses' mom here? Well, when we get into verses 5 through 9, we read that now the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river while her young woman walked beside the river. She saw a basket among the reeds. Servant woman, she took it. When she opened it, she saw this child. Behold, the baby was crying. She took pity on him, which was Moses. And she said, this is one of the Hebrew children. Verse 7, then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go call you a nurse, a Hebrew woman, to nurse the child for you? And Pharaoh's daughter said, go. And so what happens here is it's amazing to see God's providence for this child right away. And we're seeing it unfold in these few verses here. But what's kind of cool about this is, so Moses' mom gets to raise him. And nursing back then could typically be 4 to 5 years. Okay, yeah, moms are like, no, thank you. 4 to 5 years. And so, again, when you think about, again, Moses having his mom and the influence that she was in his life for those 4 to 5 years, don't let that escape your mind, because as we read, and I'm not going to bring the passage up here, but if Barry was to continue reading past verse 10 into 11 through 15, it's very interesting, even though he was raised in an Egyptian palace, his identity was in being Jewish. So much so that, as we know, the verses that unfold next in verses 11 through 15 is he's so outraged by the Egyptian taskmaster that he kills him. And he thinks he's doing an act of service to God and his people when he does this. But it's interesting, his identity, I have to believe, was well formatted in his early upbringings, and his mom had a lot to do with that. And so one of the first things that we're learning is that Jochebed, Moses' mom, had an impact on him. Now, what's interesting, and I haven't considered this, is that she had two other children. Moses seems to be the headliner, right? He leads the people out of bondage, out of Egypt, exiled, brings them out, and they're now marching towards the promised land. But what else do we know about her other children? Well, a couple things. We know Miriam was a sister that stood watching from a distance to see what would happen to her baby brother, right? She initiated the contact with Pharaoh's daughter. Also, it's probably a fair assumption to say that Aaron had been born before the edict came down to destroy or kill all the children. He may have already been in the forced labor at this point, serving in some capacity that way. But if you do a little bit more diving into Scripture, we find out a little bit more about Miriam and Aaron. And so I just want you to look at some of these things here. Scripture tells us in Exodus 2, 5 through 9, that Jochebed raised a daughter to take both responsibility to watch over her brother Moses and initiated the approach to Pharaoh's daughter with ready-made solution that will allow Jochebed to stay involved in his life. Later in Exodus 15, we find that Miriam is called a prophetess. And by the way, she's the third person in Scripture after Abraham and Aaron that is given that title. Pretty significant. And I thought this was awesome. She was also the first worship leader in Scripture that we read of. If you get into Exodus 15, 20, 27, she's leading the women of Israel in song after they crossed the Red Sea. Jochebed raised a strong, assertive, spiritually attuned daughter. That's pretty amazing. You don't know that unless you get into the Scriptures and dive into this. This is the influence of Jochebed with her daughter. Well, what about her middle child, Aaron? Aaron was called a prophet in Exodus 7:1. We also know he became God's mouthpiece to Pharaoh after Moses begged God, because he didn't have a voice like me, to talk to him. So that bears out in Exodus 4:14. And later, he would be ordained in Leviticus as the high priest for the Jewish people. And every high priest after would come from the line of Aaron. I mean, if we're being honest right now, not bad, Jochebed. Pretty good mothering here. I mean, you got three outstanding children. You got Moses leading the Israelites out, being introduced to God and knowing his name as the first person. You got Aaron as a mouthpiece and a high priest, and every priest that would come after him would come from his line. You got a daughter who is like the worship leader for Israel, all these different things. I mean, right now, I'm sure moms are going, how can anybody live up to that? Seriously, that's crazy. But let me, ease the tension. Before you think who could ever live up to that, remember Moses killed a man. Aaron led a whole nation to worship an idol that was not God. And Miriam challenges Moses' authority multiple times and actually is rebuked by God himself. So, we can climb off the wall now, right? She did a great job, but I think it's fair for us to think about a couple things here. And just about how does she raise a kid like this? How do you raise kids like this? I would just say, look, a lot of prayer and trust in the Lord went into it. A lot of intentionality. And if we think back on our passage this morning, when you think about the intentionality of her, she spares Moses' life first from death. Instead of allowing him to be murdered by royal edict, she basically puts a little wicker basket together, coats the bottom, makes it waterproof, and she puts him in the water. But I think you have to, when we talk about him putting in the water, what's the big deal? Well, the Nile is full of crocodiles. Changing currents, all sorts of things. So this wasn't just like an easy thing for her to do. Mind you, the law that was coming down on her, that her child should be dead. It's possible that knowing all of this, she probably scouted out a safe area for Moses to be put in. She probably knew where Pharaoh's daughter bathed and came up with this plan. I mean, it wouldn't have been difficult to place him just a little upstream, too. You're talking about a mom who was creative, who was courageous, who was a godly woman who did the bravest and hardest thing when it comes to our kids. She let them go. And obviously, this is easy to see in Moses, but I got to believe she did this with all of her kids. She entrusted them to the Lord. And so it's pretty amazing. And so when we think about these three kids, she did the toughest thing as parents. I know I have trouble with this. I have two daughters. It's hard to let go. Doesn't matter what age they are. I love them. And in my intent to love them, sometimes I try to be too involved, because I want to control the situation. I got to believe that temptation was there for Jochebed. But she did the hardest thing, and she let them go. That's not to say she wasn't intentional in the years that growing them from childhood, infancy, to where they were as adults. She was very much invested. And so, just as a reflection point here this morning, where does Jochebed's story challenge us the most? Is it her courage, her faith, her parenting style? Or is it her willingness to put her children into God's hands, even when it's a dangerous or uncertain? Because the truth is that the world needs more mothers like Jochebed. They need more men like Aaron and Moses and Miriam. And so motherhood matters. It matters. Just as much as biblical leadership in the church matters, motherhood matters. However, that being said, Jochebed was not the only influence in Moses' life. And so I want to move through these next two here somewhat quickly. There was two other models here in the passage this morning of motherhood. And so let's look at the second one here this morning. Second one is this. It's Pharaoh's daughter, and she's mothering by adoption. Scripture doesn't give a name to Moses' adopted mother, only that she was Pharaoh's daughter. Let's look again at what we know about her. Now, the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river while her young woman walked beside the river. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her servant woman, and she took it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby was crying. And she took pity on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrew's children." What we have here going on in Scripture is the first international adoption. Think about it. She saw a child in need. She took pity on him. What do we know about her? She obviously had some type of compassion heart. She knew what the king's edict was that Hebrew males should be dead, should be killed on the spot. And yet, she takes pity on Moses. And although Pharaoh's daughter disappears from the story after this, consider this act of selflessness that has changed the world. Because she took pity on Moses, he was able to grow and thrive and become the leader that God wanted him to be. All because she took him in. And that's pretty amazing. Sometimes a mother, married or not, in dire circumstances, might have to consider placing a child up for adoption or foster care, just like Jochebed. And sometimes the heartbreak of giving up their baby can be offset by the moms or dads who have the means and character to provide a good home for their baby. This is apparently what happened when Jochebed chose Pharaoh's daughter. She didn't just randomly do this. Not with the way the other kids turned out. She was intentional. She was thoughtful. She was probably very prayerful too, directed by God. And I gotta say this, I praise God for moms and dads who are willing to adopt foster children. Couple things. Did you know every 2 minutes another child enters the foster care system in the United States? Every 2 minutes. On an average, 10 children enter the foster care every single day in Colorado alone. Now just think about this. What if people in the evangelical churches all around Colorado would mobilize and they would answer the call like Pharaoh's daughter and they would step up and provide homes for these children? I can't tell you how grateful I am. One of our good friends back in Connecticut, they have, what, 5 adopted kids? A couple of their own. And they're thinking about doing their 6th adoption. Now, God has blessed them with the means to do it. But they're answering a well-needed call in this society. There are kids that need homes. And I have students now who are married, who are doing the same thing, pursuing adoption of kids. And I'm so grateful for these people to step up and stand in the gap. And that may not be your calling here. This isn't to say everyone should be doing this. But I think something for us to think about, where does the story of Pharaoh's daughter challenge us? Do we have the means to adopt or foster? Something to pray about, at least. Something to think about. One last statistic on this. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services states that there are almost 114,000 foster children eligible for and waiting to be adopted. 114,000 children in this country waiting to be adopted. I definitely believe God wants us to be at least wrestling with the tension of this. I want us to think about how could we maybe answer the call to step up. Mothering by influence is pretty amazing. And this leads us to our next example here. As you think about adoption, I want us to think about mothering by influence here. And this is our last model here that we see of mothering. Shipra and Pua, the mother by support and influence. So let's find out a little bit more about these two women. It says, then the king of Egypt said to Hebrew midwives, one whom was named Shipra and Pua, when you serve as midwives to the Hebrew women, see them on the birth stool. If it's a son, you shall kill him. But if it's a daughter, she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but they let the male children live. These were just two nurses, two women, right? Two nurses to Hebrew women who helped the Israelite women give birth. Something you need to understand about midwives, biblically speaking. They helped moms give birth, similar today, but it was more than that. They walked alongside moms in those early years. And so they helped where there may be struggle. And so there was this God calling on them to help assist new parents navigate the hardships of those early days. And so they provided essential care to families. This is where the influence comes in. They may have not been mothers, although we read later God blesses them with their own families. But the start, their calling was to walk alongside families and to be there for them, to provide essential care. And if you put aside the fact that Jochebed was literally Moses' birth mother, just if you didn't know anything else about her, check out what we learn about Jochebed in the role of influence and coming alongside people to help, like to help the Pharaoh's daughter here, right? So we read this right in the scriptures. When she opened the basket, that being Pharaoh, she saw the child. She said, this is a Hebrew child. Then the sister, Miriam, says to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go call you nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you? So this is standard practice. Child raising, having children, standard practice was to have somebody there to help you. And this is the only point I'm trying to make from that. Jochebed steps up. Yes, God in his providence allows her to have her influence over her own son. But again, this was common practice to have someone to come alongside of you and to help you. And so when we look at Shipra, Pua, Jochebed, they were all women who mothered as godly women who supported families and influenced the lives of children for the kingdom of God. Women. Here, I don't know what God has in store for you when it comes to having your own children. But I can tell you this, there were plenty of women who weren't my birth mom who helped nurture me in faith. And I praise God for those women in my life. So again, just to reflect here in closing, what about you? What challenged you about the story of these two women who helped to shape children like Moses and countless others that weren't even their own children? As I wrap up, I hope that these three models may serve to encourage you, because I got to believe God is using you women in different ways, whether it's your own children, maybe it is an adopted situation, or maybe it's just you coming along somebody. Can't tell you, just even young women here who maybe not even be married, how you could even help families. Can't tell you how many times Kim and I were assisted by just Yuku kids, girls, who would come and watch our girls. Give us that date night out. That little rest, that break. And you could influence and you could help. And you could assist that family and provide means. These kids never asked for a dime. That was their gift. That was how they were going to bless. So again, I hope somewhere in this message you're challenged, you're encouraged, whatever it is. I think by no mistake God shows us these three examples of motherhood, because all are needed. All are needed. Your influence is so important and so impactful. God can use you And I'm grateful for how God has used you as moms in this place. It is a calling, and there's no greater calling. And again, I hope you see that you don't have to be a biological mom to fulfill that calling. Let's pray. God, I thank you for this morning. Thank you for this time that we can have in your word. I pray, Lord, that we would go away encouraged in some way or challenged. I thank you for moms all across this country, Lord. The power that they have to influence and change someone's life is unmatched. I pray, Lord, that you would bless the moms in this room today, Lord, that they would feel your presence, your strength, Lord, to do the job that you've called them to do, to be the moms that you desire them to be for their kids. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Watch this video here. I hope it encourages you guys this morning. Would you stand with us for our closing song? So this last song is called The Blessing, and as a church, we've only done the first verse and chorus, but we're going to go through all the different bridges. Because there's just a blessing here that I want the moms to receive, especially as we think about God's favor being upon you for the thousand generations, your family and your children, and their children and their children. Let's sing.
Toward you and give you peace. his children and their children and their children. May his presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you, he is with you in the morning, in the evening, in your coming, in your going, in your weeping and rejoicing. He is for you, he is for you.
Blessing that God would be with you through all generations and for your families and your children and their children. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Happy Mother's Day.